You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition, but it's not just any Sunday, it's Arc Day at Longchamp. Seven Group 1s on their card. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Stuart Beasley, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Alongside Longchamp, we've got three jumpers domestically, Huntingdon, Kelso and Uttoxeter, but a real top class Sunday to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Yes. It's that time of year again, Mark.
It is. It's a great day, isn't it, Arc Day?
It is. Yeah, really good good racing. Group 1s all the way through. And it's an exciting card once again. Some good fields and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're going to preview four races from Longchamp on Sunday, including the big one. Before we get stuck into it, don't give too many clues away, Craig, but I think it's a pretty good renewal of the Arc this year as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You could have a 8 or 9 on the shortlist, Mark. Mm. So, finding the winner won't be easy, and it probably isn't as clear-cut as the betting suggests.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to that in due course. Start with a little bit of news and so on, as we normally do. We'll start with the results at Ascot yesterday, Craig, because one of them stood out to you on Friday.
Yeah, indeed. The Tin Man of James Fanshawe's a three-year-old sprinter. Definitely going places. He looked a progressive sort prior to running at York at the beginning of September. That didn't mark his performance up that day, Mark, because he raced alone from a high-numbered stall. And, you know, the track was definitely... That was certainly the slowest part of the track where he raced that day. And he had to do all his own work to get into the race. You know, it may look disappointing that he only finished 8th, but it was still a reasonable step forward from a handicap mark of 79, which he had previously won off at Doncaster.
Mm.
But I don't think anybody really could have expected the way he did the business at Ascot on Friday. I thought there'd be a big problem again from his draw in stall 1, because the pace looked to be up the middle of the track, and I thought he'd be stuck out on the wing. He would struggle to get into the contest, but he just oozed class all the way through, travelled really strongly, and you know, Tom Quealy just asked him to quicken, and he pulled away from Don's Early Light, who was one of the early pace setters. So a terrific performance. That was off a mark in 91. It was a stand-up performance on the clock as well as visually, and I think he's definitely a pattern class performer in the making. I think as a four-year-old next year, he'll be dining at the top table in the sprints.
Okay. So that's one to take out of Friday's action. Then a bit of other news. Jockey George Challoner, he's suffered an unfortunate incident. He's going to have to have surgery on his badly injured ankle and foot as well. That's bad news for him, isn't it? Because he's done all right this season.
He's done well, yeah. Richard Fry's given him a good few opportunities. And, of course, with Richard just seems to bag one big Saturday handicap after the other at the moment.
Can do no wrong.
You know, these are the days as well where he can pick up good rides, you know, and good horses away from the principal meeting. So, yeah, a little bit of a blow, but I'm sure he'll come back stronger as ever when he recovers from his recent setback.
All right. Final thing before I move on to Sunday's races in detail, just the comments from John Gosden about the draw in the Arc. He thinks there might be a little bit of jiggery pokery going on there. Would you agree with that? Do you think there's all in that?
Jiggery pokery in horse racing? That doesn't work, Mark, does it? No.
No,
certainly not. Certainly not.
No.
No, I don't think there's. Yeah, obviously, you know, well, what happened last year with Trev? Yeah. You know, she got a bad draw last year and she was able to overcome it. I mean, I know the stats point to low-drawn horses in the race, but high numbers wouldn't really put me off, to be honest.
Yes. Anyway, let's leave it there. Let's move on to the action then. We'll get Craig's thoughts in four races from Longchamp on the back of this.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first two races on the card at Longchamp, the Arc itself and the Abbey. Unfortunately, we can't go through all seven races. We'd be here for a while if that was the case. But strong opinions along the way, Craig, before we get stuck into it?
Not really, to be honest, Mark.
Good.
You know, four selections that hopefully, you know, if we get one, hopefully two, it will prove profitable to follow the four. But, you know, you can't be too... Look at how competitive the Abbey and the Arc is. I think our best chances may come in the opening two-year-old races because the latter two races are very, very competitive.
All right, let's get stuck into those then to start with. The first race that we'll look at is the 1 o'clock at Longchamp. This is the Prix Marcel Boussac. It's a Fillies Group 1 for two-year-olds. It's over just short of a mile. And from a British perspective, let's start with Ballydoyle here. Craig, what do you make of the Aidan O'Brien runner, who's obviously got history in the race with Found last year?
Yes, Mark. With her name alone, I pointed to her being well above standard this year as a juvenile. She got off the mark on a third start in a, well, looked a fairly weak maiden at the time, but she was well supported to win that day, and she won fairly easy, stepped up on that performance, winning in Group 2 company at the Curragh, and I thought she was slightly disappointing last time, Mark, and, you know, that would be the slowest ground she's encountered in her five starts to date, and I think that could have, you know, been the main factor behind her below par performance, finishing second. And again, the ground has to be of slight concern at Longchamp on Sunday. She's a progressive filly, but I just have slight concerns with her regarding the underfoot conditions. I think she'd prefer a faster surface.
Okay, so do you take her on then?
Yeah, I think we've got to take her on here with the French filly, Antoineau. Beat Keymar on a debut at Deauville, and the two horses have both progressed and won subsequently. But I think Antoineau's victory was in a much stronger race in a Group 3 at Chantilly last time. And Keymar, you know, did win at Longchamp here over just over a mile. But I think the Pascal Barry filly certainly comes from a stronger race. And she showed a blinding turn of foot on that occasion, Mark. And I think she's another useful juvenile filly here. So Antoineau hopefully can get us off to a flyer at Longchamp on Sunday.
And enough for Craig then. In the 1 o'clock, the 1:35 is the second race we look at. This is the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère. It's a Group 1 over just short of a mile. Again, it's for two-year-olds. And the market for this one is headed by Johannes Vermeer, the Aidan O'Brien runner, who's 2-1. 4-1 for Herald the Dawn. Ultra is 13-2. 7-1 for Galileo Gold and Attendu. Ventura Storm is 12s with Shogun. And it's 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. I was at Leopardstown when Johannes Vermeer won last time, Craig, and I was pretty impressed. Can he complete the hat trick here?
Did you actually see him winning, Mark?
I
know you was there, but did you?
Yes, I wasn't drunk at that point, right. So I saw it happen. Yeah,
yeah, good. He's a very progressive sort, and of course, Aidan O'Brien, I'm sure, will still be nursing the scars from this race last year because his stable companion, Glenn Eagles, remember him and Blast from the Past. He won the race last year and was later disqualified and placed third, Mark. So I'm sure that you know, Aidan will be hoping to keep the race this year, and I think he's got a very strong contender to do so in Johannes Vermeer. I was very impressed with the performance at Leopardstown. I thought Joseph O'Brien, in all honesty, got to the front pretty soon enough for me. But to his credit, the horse just galloped all the way to the line. You know, the pack were closing at the finish, but to his credit, and I think, you know, his raw ability, he was able to keep going. I think that Ryan Moore will probably play more of a waiting game with him in this race in France on Sunday, and I think that can bring about more improvement, and he's certainly the one to beat. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's going to make up into a really good three-year-old next year. But I think he can bag this race along the way and sign off with his juvenile season with a fine win here in a Group 1.
Johannes Vermeer then for Craig in the 1:35. Moving on to the big race itself next then. The 2:55 at Longchamp is the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. It's a Group 1 over a mile and a half. The betting headed by Trev, who's 5-4 at the time of recording this. New Bay 5-1. 7-1 for Golden Horn. Free Eagle 12s. 16s for Flincher. 16s as well for Found. 25-1 for Dolnaya. Tapestry at 25s and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. Real cracking renewal, as we mentioned. Can Trev make it a historic third win in a row, Craig?
She could easily, Mark, yeah. You know, there's absolutely no doubting her ability. She's obviously won the last two renewals. The stats brigade will probably point to the fact that, you know, five-year-olds have struggled in the race, and previous years it's been dominated by the three- and four-year-olds. But how many five-year-olds, you know, have come into the race in search of a treble, if you like, and how many five-year-olds have been at the top of their game like Trev has? You know, she's come back this year and won three on the bounce again. So, you know, it's different, and I wouldn't be looking, you know, strictly at those stats and writing Trev off simply because she's a year older this time around. You know, she seems in as good a form as she's ever been in, and she was just electric in the race last year. She's been brought along, obviously, to come to her peak again, but in a race as good as this, Mark, 5-4 just doesn't appeal. I mean, she could easily win. We know she's a class mare, but 5-4 just doesn't appeal because of the race. I think it's a really competitive and above average renewal. I would have two horses on my shortlist for the race, and I think they both find a little bit of value. Free Eagle would be the first. Obviously, we all seen the trouble he got into in the Irish Champion Stakes behind Golden Horn and Found. I thought he was travelling every bit, if not better than the winner, at the stage of interference. Golden Horn, to his credit, battled back. But with Golden Horn, Mark, having seen him at York and got into my mind that he was over the top and had probably had enough for the season, it's hard to get those thoughts out of my head, even though we've seen him, you know, bounce back from that poor effort and run out a decent winner of the Irish Champion Stakes. But that nagging doubt is that, you know, his best performances for this season anyway may now be behind him. So Golden Horn, for that reason, has passed over. But Free Eagle was staying on. Obviously, he lost all momentum with the interference when Golden Horn checked him on that occasion. You know, he steps up and trip, and you look at his pedigree, there's a fair bit of hope that Free Eagle will see out the extra two furlongs. And visually, the way he races, you know, he switches off quite well, which hopefully should allow him to get home. And he's a half-brother to Sapphire, who stayed a mile and a half really well. And you have to think that High Chaparral would be a bigger influence on stamina than Medician, who was Sapphire's sire. So, you know, there's every chance that Free Eagle, you know, could relish the extra two furlong. And I think the other one that is a massive price is Eagle Top at 33-1. I can easily see John Gosden's horse running into the frame here, Mark. I think we'll have to put the disappointing effort at Newbury behind him. You know, you look at the King George and you look at Romsdale, who finished, you know, not too far behind Eagle Top. He bounced next time as well. He was virtually pulled up on his next start, Romsdale. And I think the King George may just have been, you know, a race where it's going to take a little bit of time to recover from, because it was run at a real strong gallop and soft ground at Ascot. And I think Eagle Top is worth the chance to bounce back to that form behind Postponed. And if he does, he's certainly no 33-1 chance in this. So at these prices, I would play two against the field, Eagle Top and Free Eagle.
Go for an eagle forecast.
An eagle forecast, Mark. Hopefully we're flying high.
Fantastic. So that's the thoughts of Craig in the arc then. The final race we'll look at is the Abbey. We finish with the speedsters here. The Prix de l'Abbey de Longchamp is a group one over just short of five furlongs. It's for two-year-olds and older. A nice big field here as well, but there is a significant non-runner in the shape of Mecca's Angel. And the market headed at the moment by Muthmia, who's 5-1 joint favourite with Soul Power, 8-1 for Moving Time, Gold Dream 8s as well, 9-1 for Take Cover, 12-1 for Steps, Marek is 12s, 14s for Caspian Prince, and Gutterfan, and it's 16s or bigger for the others. Who do you side with in the Abbey, Craig?
I think Muthmia's got to be a horse here that's going to have the race run the suit, Mark. You know, a little bit of cut in the ground, five furlongs, coming off a strongly run sprint, and I think with Step A Point and Caspian Prince in here, you know, a good solid pace. Take Cover, another one that likes to race prominently, a good solid pace looks assured, and I think we could see a horse coming through, a closer coming from just off the pace here to bag the prize. It is a track where luck and running plays a big part in big field sprints, and as the pace collapses late, Paul Hannigan is going to have to be alert to steer Muthmir through the gaps. But if he does, I think he's very much the one to beat.
Okay, that's the one to beat for Craig. Then let's just have a quick summary as usual, Craig, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, in the first, the 1 o'clock Antenor for Pascal Barry. In the 1:35, we're going for Aidan O'Brien's 2-year-old Johannes Vermeer. In the big race, the 2:55 at Longchamp, Eagle Top each way and Free Eagle each way in that, two against the field. And finally in the Abbey, Muthmir for Willie Haggis and Paul Hannigan.
Good work, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck. You'll be in the studio as well, so enjoy it on Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on a superb Sunday in Longchamp. You'll hear all of that and the rest of Sunday's action. Huntingdon, Kelso and Uttoxeter are the three domestic meetings. It's live from 12:50 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.